Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Writer's Lounge. Once again, this is show number 67, April 14th, 2014. I welcome you to the show. This is the show where we showcase new authors. I am your host, Tom Riddell, and joining me shortly will be guest co-host Lisa Lee. A brief intro to today's show. We're going to be having Dave Moore, and he wrote the book Lines Along the Wall, a very interesting true life story of a plane crash and the survival and what he did in his life that led up to that and what he's planning to do after that incident. So join us probably around quarter after the hour here. We'll bring Dave on and we'll be looking forward to talking to Dave about his adventures and his take on life and everything he has learned up to this point. This is once again a factual story, not a fictional story. So I welcome you to come into the show. You can do that on Blog Talk Radio, or you can obviously connect up there in the Facebook page where we have a link to the show. And once you get into the Blog Talk Radio site, we also have open the chat room. So make sure you go in there and leave some comments. My guest co-host, Lisa Lee, will be monitoring the chat room as we go along here with the program. So that's another little feature we have added to the show. It was very popular last time, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. A brief intro, obviously, we just did, but the Writer's Lounge blog, you can find over at tomriddell.com/blog. And over there, you can read all the reviews of all the books that I've reviewed over the course of the last 2.5 years. And in the upper left-hand corner of the page, you'll find a Blog Talk Radio player. And go ahead and click on each author and listen to the interview as we do it on the Writer's Lounge here. You can listen to all the archives of all the 67 shows that we've done down through the last couple of years. Of course, as I just mentioned, you can find us on Facebook. Go over there and search Facebook for the Writer's Lounge authors. And we're on Twitter. And you can contact us the old-fashioned way at twl11@yahoo.com. And sponsoring this month, Magic Pen Web Design offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. Fill out the free estimate form over at magicpenwebdesign.com and let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And if you'd like to give us a call here at the show, you can do that at 626-213-5613 or call us toll-free at 877-878-1436, because not all of us have a lot of money to spend on long-distance calls, including me. So, and there's a little giggle from my co-host there. And just also want to let you know, and I'm really sorry, I do not have a promotion for this show for the last promotions that we did on the show, but we will have them the next couple shows. So my apologies for that. Unable to get that all together for you. But you can go over at the Facebook page, over at facebook.com pages, the Writer's Lounge Showcase New Authors, and find out what you need to do to promote your book on our show. So with that, I'd like to once again bring on to the show the effervescent, wonderful, my best buddy, or one of my best buddies, because I have a few. Lisa Lee is here after doing her show from the other studio in the other room.
Yeah.
So, yes. So we're all about studios here, and
it's just one damn big studio.
You are effervescent because your face is glowing from the laptop screen.
I also worked out and did yoga.
That's probably what it, you did yoga.
Actually, I'm lying.
Oh, okay. Well,
I sat on my butt playing Candy Crush while doing my show.
Oh, okay. And what level are you on now?
182, and I'm never going to get off.
Oh, but you got past 181.
I know, and how long did that take me? 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Well, you did it, so that's good.
Whatever. My whole world is about Candy Crush.
Speaking of yoga, that's a very good program. I'm going through some issues, some back problems and other issues, and I think yoga is very good for you. I've not made it past the beginner's level.
That's
so
okay.
It's just raising
it.
My hands up above my head and breathing in, breathing out, and all that stuff.
That's okay.
And I haven't done jumping jacks yet.
I don't think I'll ever do jumping jacks.
Did you ever do jumping jacks?
Yeah, when I was in school.
Okay. Or break a hip. Or break a hip or break a leg. Or foot. So, with that, what's new in your world? Besides your show and everything else that you're doing.
Yeah.
Anything exciting?
Listen to my show. It's on. You can find it on Jackalope. It's on the Jackalope Radio Network, and it's on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's called Sit a Spell, and it's all about empowering people and giving people the tools to make it through life magically.
Magically. So we all carry the magic wand and the twinkle, twinkle stuff.
Fairy
twing,
dust.
Twing, fairy dust that I hear all the time coming from your studio.
My cell phone.
Your studio.
Yes, we twinkle.
So, I wish we had a sound effect where you could play that. It's kind of fun.
I'll bring my phone next time.
So who else is on your program? I shouldn't be asking because I know, but tell everybody who else usually frequents your show and what kind of personalities are on your show.
The beautiful and amazing, stunning Teresa Savina is my co-host. And we have Michelle Johnson, who does crystal connections. She teaches everybody about crystals. And I just heard my phone go off.
Yeah, there's a twinkle.
We've got Gail Splinter, who talks about pagan parenting. And we've got Candy Ayers, or as Teresa would say, Candy Ayers.
Okay.
And she does Wisdom of the Ages. So the show is a lot of giggles, a lot of laughing, really good information on all things
life,
yeah.
Right.
So it's fun, it's entertaining, it's educational, and we have a blast doing it. So listen to my show.
And life can be magical if you make it.
Life can always be magical.
And what do you usually say at the end of your show? I just love that. Just say it here for us.
My producer calls it the blah, blah, blah.
Well, so what is the blah, blah, blah?
I always say you are perfect in every way. Go out there and make a difference in the world because we have to stick together. We have to change the world. Even if it's something simple, go make somebody smile. Say, hey, nice shoes. And always, always, always take back your light.
Take back your light. And you can sort of apply it to authors, too. If you want to do something with a book, then go ahead and get out there and do it, right?
Absolutely.
You know, right. And coming up here at quarter after the hour, probably a little more than 5 minutes, we're going to have Dave Moore on, and he's experienced life, and he's taken back his life and his light.
I am so excited for this interview.
Yeah, because he was involved in an airplane crash, and anybody who's struggled through anything in life knows that when you come out on the other side, you're usually a better person,
mm-hmm.
and you can cope better, and a lot of things are a lot more exciting, and you appreciate life a little more. So sometimes we're pushed into those things that we don't want to be pushed into, especially a plane crash, and we do better for it. So you're taking back the light is a great idea, a great segue into today's program. And I also wanted to mention, Lisa, besides the weather, did you know we're going to have a winter storm?
Are you
watch?
Frickin' kidding me?
Can,
and I did not say the F word. I said frickin'.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Up north of us, they're expecting 6 inches of snow.
We're in Minnesota.
That's right. Let's go to where?
Honolulu.
Honolulu. Okay. How did I know you were going to say that?
It's like you're psychic or something.
I must be psychic. Well, I am psychic, yeah. If you know what I mean. But psychotic, maybe?
But we're not getting it down here. Lord knows it's cold.
It is very cold. It's windy out there. It's bone-chilling. And I heard on the news someone just said that, and it's a great way to put it, we're getting sunburn on our goosebumps.
That's
awesome. Isn't it?
It is.
And this is crazy because we're approaching May, and it's tax day tomorrow, and we're almost there. And last year, ice out wasn't even until the 15th of May. But this year, I think we're getting lucky. Ice out is going to be sooner. So once we get through this next week, I think things will be better. But, you know, the whole country, because we're not just broadcasting in Minnesota, but the whole country is dealing with some really screwed up weather. We have thunderstorms to south of us, mm-hmm. and we have snow and winter watch to the north of us.
This has nothing to do with weather, but have you noticed the amount of earthquakes that has been happening all over the world?
A lot of that, too.
Usually, because I'm a geek like this and I love that kind of thing, but usually there's like an average of 40 above 2.5 every day. We've been averaging over 70 for the past like 3 weeks.
Wow.
So the earth is pissed.
The earth is. It's really going through turmoil, and that's not good. And, okay, away from the weather, let's talk about something a little bit more interesting. And I once again want to thank everybody for coming on the show or listening to the show 2 weeks ago. We had on Hugh Howie, Michael Sullivan, and Brian Anderson, a talk with the authors. It was an exceptionally great show. It was well promoted, and we got a lot of listeners and a lot of comments regarding that, and I'm here to tell you.
The chat room was going wild.
The chat room was, and once again, it can go wild tonight. So just get into the Blog Talk Radio site and click on the chat room and fill it up and ask questions of Dave when he gets on here. But I wanted to make a special announcement to everybody who listened the last couple of weeks with those three gentlemen on. Something good happens in our show almost all the time. They usually go on to becoming more successful authors or whatnot. They become promoted by other agents and stuff. But I'm here to tell you that Brian D. Anderson is now apparently being represented by Michael Sullivan's agent.
That's so cool.
And so he's turning in another direction, which is a bigger direction than where he was even before. With all the sales of his books, they're doing phenomenally well with the Godling Chronicle series. So once again, our show has made some connections, and we're really happy and excited for all the authors who've been on here over the course of the last 2.5 years, and you can do it too. Take back your light.
That's right. Words and, to live
and
by.
Write. Take back your light and write. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
That's cool. Okay, so let's get on to the main event. I think we do have Dave waiting patiently in the wings here, and I would like to introduce his books, Lines Along the Wall. The Lines Along the Wall, The Beginning, was written by Dave Moore and published by Moore Motivation LLC in 2014, and you may purchase it at Amazon.com/Kindle, and you can visit the author over at moremotivated.com. Lines Along the Wall, this is what Amazon has to say. Lines Along the Wall is a true story of a boy finding his way to manhood as Dave pursues his ultimate dream of becoming a military aviator. In this inspiring story of perseverance, Dave takes you along on the decisions or lines he has chosen in his life, good or bad, in his many adventures, some hilarious, some serious, some you will question, some you will relate to. And this is what I had to say in my review of the book. I have often wondered if you took all the people in this world who have died in an accident, who should have died in an accident, and asked them how their lives have changed from experiencing that one event, how many of them would say that their lives have become more positive and purposeful. I believe that you would find that a good number of these people have moved on to more fulfilling and richer lives than they ever had before the event. I believe Dave Moore is one of those people who not only has a better life than he did before his plane crash, but he appreciates life a lot more than he ever did before. By reaching out and telling this story, his life now has a purpose to help people find strength and to move on just as he did. After the plane crashed into some trees, Dave, with broken ribs and skin hanging from his face and skull, literally crawled through the woods with another seriously injured man who was also in the plane. It took them 1.5 hours to finally get back to the airport where they finally found help. It was an amazing story of survival where he was later told by several people, including NTSB officials, that he shouldn't be alive. Although the story about the aftermath of the crash is a good one, this book is also about Dave's earlier life and how he moved through his lines. In the first part of the book, we find out how Dave learned about integrity and teamwork from his elders and peers, and he takes us through the physically painful process of playing football, his problems with alcohol, and describes an incident where he was randomly beaten up and put in a hospital by a group of drunken teenagers. Through it all, he manages as most young people do, but his desires in life, regardless of his struggles, keeps him moving forward. This is the first book in the series, and I look forward to learning more about Dave's life and his future aspirations. And with that, let's bring Mr. Moore on to the Writer's Lounge with Tom Riddell and Lisa Lee. Dave, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. It's so good to hear your voice. I know that a lot of times when I read these books, I wonder what the personalities are going to be like when they finally reach our show. And it's always a pleasure to hear that first, hello, how you doing? And Dave, where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Just south from where I used to live. I lived in Syracuse, New York. So a little bit south of there.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds like you got a little bit of a crew there listening to you tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm here with my wife and our dogs. If you guys checked out our website, there's a nice picture that the local paper did on us, and they put us in there. And I thought it was kind of funny what he said in there. He said, if you depict somebody, it was actually my 11th grade English teacher who writes for the paper now. He said, if you depict somebody that would write an inspirational book about the meaning of life, Dave would have been the last or at least the next to the last person he'd ever thought. And he couldn't hit that nail any better on the head, because if you had told me 2 years ago I was going to write a book, I'd have laughed at you. and that'd have been about it. So it's funny how life goes. It's funny how life changes.
Yeah, it is, and it's funny. You're probably a lot like myself, because I also wrote a book, and through my teenage years and high school years, I would never have thought that I'd be actually sitting behind a microphone here talking to the public, because I do have stage fright, even though I'm not on a stage, but it's always been one of my phobias, and I tackled it, well, at least from behind the microphone I have, and of course, you related to a lot in your book regarding what you just talked about. So if you wouldn't mind, Dave, could you read an excerpt from your book?
I would love to. This is about the, like you said, the first book was about the plane crash, and that's what I was inspired to write the book when I was over in the Middle East. And the first book takes us through the plane crash. It just kind of lays the foundation for what's to come. And this just kind of talks about it a little bit. The crash was on December 17th, 1997. And it's kind of fun. I actually write here, and I have the compass from the plane. And my wife, she put it in a little case for me, and placard. It said, "Son, I don't know if you believe in God or not, but you should not be alive." And that was straight from the NTSB when I was laying in the hospital. So here it goes. We reversed directions on the runway as I made the radio calls for departure. No other traffic was around. It was about 7 p.m., and it had grown dark, but the moon was full and bright. And with no surface winds, it could have been a better night to fly. He brought in the power on that big Continental engine, and we started racing down the runway. I was on the controls with him as we accelerated down the runway, but he was doing a good job. As we approached rotation speed, he began to pull back on the yoke, and the nose lifted off the ground. Just as the means were about to come off the ground, we heard a loud boom. And the plane took a sharp, violent turn to the right, and the stall warning horn began to screech, alerting us of a serious problem. Headed right for a brick wall, I immediately told him I had the controls and tried turning back to the left to avoid hitting it. The aircraft was unresponsive to the aileron inputs as we accelerated through the air, with that right wing remaining dipped down. I harshly stomped on the left rudder, swinging the tail to the right and changing our flight path away from the wall. As we continued to accelerate and slowly climb, all I could see in the landing lights was a hangar. I quickly began using the left rudder, knowing our best chance was to crash on the airfield, as it was surrounded by woods. I got us around the hangar, and all I could see in the landing lights were trees. I was out of rudder and out of trick, so we began going through the woods at treetop level, branches violently breaking through the cockpit as we started making a path through the woods. We then hit a tree square on, and the last thing I remember is my head hitting off the dash of the aircraft. When I came to, the aircraft was rolled over on top of me, pinning me, and my left hand was stuck underneath the plane. Dr. Michael was suspended from his shoulder harness on top of me, pinning my shoulders to the ground. I was suffocating as my nose had been ripped aside from my nostrils and my mouth were filled with dirt and mud. I used my free hand to get the mud from my mouth so I could breathe, and I remember thinking to myself, this must be a dream, because this happens to other people, not me. But my head was ringing, and I knew it was for real. All the electrical power was gone from the radios, as my first thought was to get out of Mayday on the emergency frequency in hopes that Pittsburgh International would hear us. I quickly realized that it was not going to be possible, so I started screaming at Dr. Michael to get off me so I could get out. He was not responding, so I figured he was dead, and all I could think of is after you crash, you burn. So it's time critical for us to get out of this plane. Want me to keep going, or should I stop there?
No, that's good. We're just trying to absorb the emotional aspect of what you went through there, Dave. And anybody that has read your book or listened to you talk about it, there's a catch in your throat and a response that pretty much how I saw Lisa here. It was an oh my God moment of what you went through during those moments after the plane went down. Lisa, do you have anything?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I would like you to continue reading your entire book for the rest of the
okay, for the rest of the show. So
we're working on the audiobook, and it's going to be out here sooner than later. And I appreciate that, Tom, what you said about the passion, because this is all about passion. Like I said, when it came to about me writing this book, I said there's no way that this can be what I'm supposed to do. And it's pure passion. I mean, it's my story. It's my life. It's about me. And I did the best I could do to tell this story. But I really appreciate what you said, because it was such an emotional experience. After it first happened, I was unable to even talk about it without it start to shake. I mean, you can imagine the emotion. And I'm at 23 years old going through something like that. You know, you can read every book in the world, but until you've experienced it, until you've gone through it, you just have no idea what it feels like to be in a situation like that.
What comes to my mind, Dave, is the picture on your cover of you standing near the wreckage of the plane, having your picture taken of that site and the wrangled mess of the plane. I can't even imagine returning to the site so soon after you crash to have your picture taken with it. And then to think that it eventually end up on a book cover is just amazing to me. So my hat goes off to you, my friend, for surviving that, and also beyond that in making your life something of a purpose from that accident. And God bless you, man. You really made an impression on me and everybody else too. What I'd like to talk to you about now, Dave, is, as you mentioned earlier in your book, integrity and teamwork were vital parts of what made you who you are today. Can you tell us a little bit about those qualities that you mentioned?
Absolutely. I was after the accident, I tell a really fun story in there, how I went through a couple years of basically just floundering. Like you said, I got that picture taken of me the day I got out of the hospital. I wanted to go back and see that plane crash. And it's funny because they call it a whiskey ball compass, and that's the natural compass that's in every airplane. And I picked that up, and I said, this will help me find my way one day. And that's what the compass I have sitting over my desk as I write. And I guess I knew, but I didn't know the long journey was going to be. But that journey actually took a very young and confused, and now I've gone through all this drama. And it ended up taking me through a really fun story, which I know you read about, and how crazy it was. I ended up going into the Coast Guard. But it took me on that journey into the Coast Guard. And thankfully, I grew up in a good home situation with good friends, good family, and a good community. And it was always those values were always instilled in us. And I always played sports. And, you know, it was always about the team. And integrity was always, you know, first and foremost. But where I really started to learn about it was, what I started to understand it was when I got to the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard was, it was an unbelievable adventure for me. And I talk in there about old Skip Ripley and him teaching us the definition of both of those, of teamwork and integrity. And I actually, the second book's almost done, and it's many more Coast Guard stories. It's many more just the excitement I've had flying. But integrity, I talk about doing the right thing when nobody's looking. And I give a fun little scenario that that we experienced as an OCS class. The Coast Guard OCS is actually very, I had no idea what I was getting into. It was, I kind of thought I was going away to Camp Coast Guard, and I really didn't think it was the military. And that's a true story. If I'd have known, there's no way. And I got in there, and it was 17 weeks. I've been told it's second hardest line of the Marine Corps, and let me tell you, it was unbelievable. But the values that they instilled in me and what they showed me and the lights they opened up and the doors they opened up for me in life, it was a long journey. It took me 16 years to get to this point, and I can tell you I've never been clearer thinking, clearer in everything after all I've had to go through with everything as I am now. And I owe a lot of that. I'm not going to go through the full story, but, I talk about teamwork is when everybody's committed to each other's success. And I think that's so important when you look even whether you're in corporate America or, like, in the next book, I talk about sitting on the hill in Sears School with a kid that was born one year before I graduated high school, and he's looking at me for answers, telling me his feet are freezing off. And, what are you going to do? What's the decision? You don't want to fail. But it's everybody coming together, and when everybody's focused on getting to the same goal. And I truly believe that that's the best thing in life. That's the most important thing. If you come together and you come together as a group, my wife and I were talking about that as we went on this adventure, that when we work together, it's just the dynamics of it and how much further we get whenever we're trying to get. Because this was basically an assignment. I mean, I got called to write this book, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just wow. Lisa?
Have you been on a plane since your crash? And how do you feel?
Oh, Lisa. Well, that's a great question. I right after the crash, I tried jumping right back into it. As soon as I got medically cleared, I've had so many incidents and craziness in airplanes. It's like I was meant to write books. I mean, I've done three hurricanes low level, and this is all after, of course. So what happened was, not to stray from the question, because once you get me talking, I won't stop. I'm serious. I'm a talker. And that's what I'm trying to do, is just tell my stories, because I'm a good storyteller, but now, I'm trying to do that through books. But anyways, after the plane crash, as soon as I was medically clear, when you saw that picture, I was begging to get out of the hospital. I just couldn't lay there anymore. And the plastic surgeon who did my face, he told me I was a Sistine Chapel. I mean, he really patched me back together. And he got me out of there a little bit earlier than I think they wanted to get me out of there. Well, as soon as they got me off all the medication, I could pass a physical, I went ahead and got right back into the saddle. I didn't want to, I mean, I grew up, and that was my passion in life. That's what got me through, that's what got me through school. That's what kept me going in a direction was aviation. I loved it. I wanted it. So it got me, it kept me motivated and inspired. I remember a friend of mine, when we were young, he said, "Dave, you're really lucky because you know what you want to do in life, and you can't take for something like that for granted." So I didn't want aviation that I loved. I didn't want, an incident like this to ruin it for me. But the fact was, I was not mentally prepared to be back in that cockpit. So I did get back in the cockpit, and I flew for about a couple months after that. And then I had another incident that I talk about in a Mooney coming across the Rocky Mountains, and that was the last time I flew. And then I had to go ahead and get my head right. So I went through, I took some time off, and I went into sales, and I was doing pretty well in sales. As you can tell, I like to talk, and it came down to a situation where I was driving one day, and I was in my company car, and I was looking up in the sky, and I said, "Dave, what are you doing? You're a pilot. You need to be in the sky." And so I went out to the local airport where I flew when I was young, and I wrote a chapter in there. It's called Beaver County Airport, and I went out there, and I ran into just the right people, and they were willing to get me back in the saddle, because it's not like riding a bike. After 2 years of being out of it, I had to get back in there, and it's hard. And then they gave me a shot. They gave me an opportunity. There's been so many good people in my life that have given me opportunities. That have, we always see the negative on the news. We always see the bad, what's going on out there. But you never hear the good, and that's what I want to talk about in my books. And, it's all the people that reached out, and I even say in there, good or bad, I learned from everybody. But all those people that reached out and just, like, you know, just helped pull me up, like, were like monkeys pulling each other off the barrel, pulling each other up. And so they gave me a shot out there, and I reinstated my CFI and all my instructor ratings, and I started instructing. And so I had applied to the Coast Guard, and the first time I went in there, and I talk about this, I was the guy looked at me, and the Coast Guard is a very small service, so they're not really out actively seeking recruits. They get plenty of people knocking at their door. So I went out there, and the guy looked at me, and he said, "Oh, you're too heavy. You're not going to make it," because I was drinking a lot at this point. And this is after the crash. And so that just laid the challenge down. So I went out and got in shape, and then I put a package together, and he said I'd hear by June. So June came and went. I never heard a word. And I was just going through a lot at the time, so I started getting back into aviation, and I was doing real well at the sales job, and they were real happy with me in this company, and then it was late August, I received a phone call from my dad, and I had kind of forgotten about the Coast Guard, he called me up, and he said, "Son," he said, did you apply to the Coast Guard?" And I said, "I did." And he said, "Well, I'm David J. Moore, Jr." And he goes, "They're going through the phone book. They lost your – it sounds crazy, but after being with the government for a long time, I can understand." He said, "They lost your number." I know. And he said that you have a spot, you know, an OCS slot, but they need to know tomorrow morning because you slipped through the cracks. So they need to know, hey, you're going to do this, or they have to give the slot away to an alternate. And I was still dealing with a lot of post-traumatic stress at the time, and I was drinking a lot, and so being the good Catholic raised boy that I was, I had too much to drink to drive to church. So I started looking for other signs. So I turned the TV on, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Oh, show me a sign." Just being all dramatic. I had some guys out of Beaver County. They said that they were getting hired by a local commuter, and the airlines were booming like they had never boomed before. And there was going to be a lot of opportunity to go to, like, American Airlines or, you know, big paying jobs like that. And the place I was working for, I was selling a lot, and they were pretty happy with me there. And now all of a sudden I had this opportunity to go to the Coast Guard, who wouldn't even guarantee me a flight slot. I could have ended out there breaking ice on an icebreaker or doing whatever. And it was my least likely opportunity that I was going to take. So I turned the TV on. I was asking, being all dramatic, asking for a sign, and had way too much to drink. I don't glorify it. What's that?
Yeah, I remember that part in the story, Dave. You did definitely get a sign there to tell you to pursue what you wanted to do.
What was the sign? I'm dying to know.
What's the sign, Dave?
What, do you want me to continue on, or am I talking too much?
No. Go ahead and tell us the sign, and then I have a few more questions if I could get in to ask you.
I'm a talker.
Yeah,
I think
I need to go ahead, Dave. Just do audiobooks.
Anyway, so we're sitting. My books are just full of crazy stories, and it's been a great ride. It continues to be. So, anyways, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, show me a sign. It's just being all dramatic, and I turn on the TV, and I see this preacher out there, and he has like this black hair and these white teeth, and he's up there preaching away, and he's like, "There's this man who's stuck on a wave," and he said, and the man said. "I'm not worried. I've lived a good life. The Lord will save me." And the Lord sent the man a raft, and the man let that raft go by. And he goes, "That man stuck on a wave, you know." And I'm sitting here asking for a sign, right? And he goes, "And the Lord sent him a Coast Guard boat." I said, "No way." And I really didn't want to go to the Coast Guard because it seemed like an awful lot of work. I just kind of dismissed that. He goes, stuck on a wave. The Lord sent him a Coast Guard helicopter. I said, "I think this man is trying to tell me something."
That's
right. I went down the next morning. I swore into the Coast Guard, and I mean, I had no idea if I was going to have a flight slot or anything. Like I said, I could have been doing anything. And my peers, everybody, they just, you know, "You're crazy. What are you doing? You're missing out. It's all about seniority numbers. You're missing out on the seniority number. One seniority number could be $1 million over a career." And it was hard. And sure enough, I mean, September 11th came very shortly after that point, and it was the worst drought in the airline history. I mean, it was unbelievable, and it took me on a ride in the Coast Guard that I talk about with, like you said, Tom, with integrity and teamwork, and really they it really helped mold me into a man, and I can't say enough good about the military. 13 years, I have my Navy wings. Lisa asked me if I flew again. I've actually earned my Navy wings. I've earned my my Air Force wings, and I've gotten to fly in all those branches of service, and it's been a heck of a ride. But when I first did start flying again, I was very on edge, and I nonstop, I would sit there and say, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? And it was tiresome. I mean, an hour flight, I'd what if every scenario that could happen to this airplane. But in the long run, I think it actually made me a better pilot, a better aviator, because, you start thinking through all the scenarios.
And, Dave, I wanted you to plug the person on the TV that you were listening to. I know that a lot of people watch him. Can you go ahead and give him a plug?
Yeah, I can give him a plug. It's Joel Osteen. And it's actually, and as you know, Tom, I had no idea who Joel Osteen was, and then it was later in life, and I talk about that, and that's all. I mean, the whole reason I wrote the book was because years later, I mean, almost, 13 years later, I'd gone through a divorce, and somebody had bought me this book. It was Becoming a Better You, and it was one of his books, and it probably sat in my house for 3 years. And I was getting ready to deploy to the Middle East, and I grabbed it and threw it in my bag and didn't think two things of it. And it was an excerpt that I was reading from him, and my oldest dog that had been with me through everything when she passed on. And that's actually why when I got the sign to write the book, and it's been a great ride.
Yeah. Let everybody know that if you'd like to give us a call and talk to Dave, you can do that at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877-878-1436. And Dave, that's quite an accomplishment of writing. I want to get to the writing process here a little bit. What was the process like in gathering those memories and putting it in book form? How did you do it, as in, did you use an outline, and how did it affect you emotionally when you're putting all that together?
Well, if you know me, I'm not real big on outlines. like I said, it was probably the biggest shock of me to write a book. So what I did was I thought it was going to – I named it like I titled it Bailey and Me, and I just started writing, and it was just it was basically just a process of trial and error, and just trial and error, just going through the process. And I would write something, and sometimes I'd look at it and say, well, that's too emotional or too passionate, or you need to let that, you need to think about that, and because you want to bring the positive out, not the negative.
Right.
And
right.
It actually took me a year and 2 months to get through it, which is, I wanted the book to be short. Because I wanted it to be an easy read, because the people, there's a lot of people that aren't avid readers that I think could really get a lot out of reading this book. And
right.
So I just basically put my head down and started going at it. And then I came, once I finally got to a point where I thought I was in a halfway decent spot, I put a little plug in there for, I was talking around to a couple different people, and my mom actually said, she said, what about Mr. Steiner, an old English teacher of mine? So I got a hold of him, and he couldn't believe it. And he's like, well, send me a chapter. And then so I sent him a chapter. He said, send me two more chapters. So I sent him two more chapters, and it came back with green pen all over it. And he said, the only thing worse than my grammar was my lack of respect for a paragraph.
Okay.
I said, that's the guy that can teach me to write.
I was wondering, too, about your partner there in the plane, and also any other characters, real-life characters in your book. Did you have to reach out to them in any way? And what were their reactions when you told them you were going to write about them?
He's since passed away, and so I did not reach out to him, obviously. And nobody else, I didn't reach out to anybody. I just told my story as I remembered it. A perfect example, I just saw a friend from high school, and I was telling him about it, and I told him, because the reason his title Lines Along the Wall was from the speech from my high school valedictorian. And the person that I thought gave the speech, he seems to recall that somebody else gave the speech. So, you know, you just use first names. It's really getting in the weeds. I didn't reach out to any of the other characters. I just told the story as I remember it, as it happened. And that's it.
Lisa?
I want to know what happened over the mountains.
Oh, the incident over the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
I've
got to read this one.
we were coming out of NBAA, National Business Aviation Association. I actually I started a business, and it was with fractional ownership, and we're pretty excited about it. It was actually with the with some of the people that I'd worked with, and some of the people that were related to the guy that I was in the accident with, and we were coming back, and we ended up getting into it was a bad situation when we were max performing an aircraft. It was a Mooney TLS, and it had a service ceiling of 25,000 feet on it. And we were coming back at 25,000 feet, which we shouldn't have been doing in a single-engine piston turbocharged aircraft. And as we were coming back, we started experiencing it. It was the one that did it for me. If that engine would have even hiccup, I knew we'd have been in big trouble. We ended up making it back across the Rockies, and we made it home safe. But it was the one that just pushed me over the edge, right? So I just had to take a break from flying for a while.
Wow.
Well, I was right. Dave, in regards to actually getting the book written and out there, any challenges in the publishing of your book?
Well, Tom, I mean, you know why I wrote the book. You read it. You saw the reason I did it. So I didn't write the book in hopes of, I didn't really have grand expectations of it. I did it because that's what I was supposed to do. And after it was done, it was kind of more like a self project. And then,
right.
And then we just kind of went with it. And then, and then we actually self-published it. We heard about self-publishing and,
yeah.
That's what I wanted
to ask you about, Dave, was the process of self-publishing, because I know a lot of struggling writers and even authors out there that have already gotten their books out there struggle with the actual publishing of it. Some people go the traditional route, some people go to self-publishing, and it sounds like you went to self-publishing.
Yes, we did. We went through CreateSpace on Amazon, and they won't do anything to help you. It's all your work, and like I said, we didn't really have grand expectations of it. It was we make a book and have something to put on, to put on our desk and have something to give to our kids, and that was, that was good enough for us. But, we just kind of went with it, and as it grew, we grew with it. And but we did all the work ourselves. We did, we had the editing done. We put it together. My wife actually designed the cover, and that's an actual photo that she found digging through some old photos, and she made the cover. What was the program?
Adobe Photoshop.
She just did Adobe Photoshop, made the cover, and we did it, and then we kept going with it, and we've had some chances to go around and do some public speaking, which I love to do, and some motivational or inspirational speaking, and reach a lot of people. We ended up hiring a company to build a website for us, and we do some inspirational blogs.
I didn't realize you're a speaker.
Yes.
Just a joke, Dave.
Yeah, I got you. that was a good one. But, so we just kind of went with it, and we're just growing with it. And as things line up, I went through, and we almost have the second book done, and then the third book's coming right behind it, the parts of the series. The second book I'm really excited about, it's a lot more I guess the Hollywood stories, as you'd want to call them. It's just a lot of fun. I've had a great aviation career. I have a very exciting aviation career, and I just share a lot of those stories with you. Looking back, it's almost unbelievable all the things that have happened. And now that I'm older and more settled in, and I wouldn't be that person to want to go fly through a hurricane at 100 feet off the deck in a little Falcon jet or do anything like that. But it's been amazing, the steps. It's very easy to see in the style of, okay, I can't fly anymore, so in my mind, I have to take it to the absolute max because, you know, okay, well, if I'm having a problem, if I'm scared to fly, then I need to go out and fly for the military. I need to go out and do the most. It's almost like just my personality makes me want to climb that mountain. And what I ended up getting back from that was just unbelievable. So,
As far as your website and your future goals, it's not just about writing books. It's more involved than that. Can you tell us a little bit about the purpose of your website and your mission?
We're putting some inspirational blogs out there. I mean, stuff that by inspirational blogs, I guess, you know, stuff that just seems stuff that I've learned, and I guess just collecting, you know, we learn things bits and pieces and through the experiences that we go through in life, and I want to share those with, you know, with people so maybe they don't have to make the same mistakes that I made, or maybe they can, you know, just to help them, or the things that have helped me get through situations, because, you know, it all comes down to is we're all in this together. I mean, you know, we're all in this world together, and we're all unsure, we're all unknown, and we're just kind of making our way through, and really the bit that Joel Osteen in his book got me with was he said, look, our greatest assets are not our oil fields, it's not our financial institutions, it's our cemeteries, because that's where all the wisdom and the knowledge and the unwritten books were. And I mean, he couldn't hit the nail any better on the head when you think about it. So I basically just try to encourage and pass along, and, you know, like we talk, lift people up. My wife, she's a nurse in her past life, and she has now become a personal trainer and a nutritionist, and she does a fitness blog on there, and basically it comes down to mind, body, and soul, and just trying to help people find their best, and, you know, I hope they can look at me, because I've gone through a lot to get where we're at, and, you know, I was talking to this guy, we were at the gym, and he's written maybe 20 books or so on post-traumatic stress and alcoholism, and he said, you know, that very few people get out of it on their own. You know, it's such a journey and such an experience to take, but really what I want to show is post-traumatic growth. If you take those things that happen to you in life, and you take the worst things that happen to you in life and spin it around, you can make it the best thing. You can make it the most positive. You can learn from it, you can grow from it, and only become stronger. And that's what we want to do. And we have more books coming out. I have a children's series that we're just getting started. We have actually a CRM book that I want to put out on crew resource management with all my aviation experience. The Lines Along the Wall series, somebody asked me when it ended, and I looked at him and I said, hopefully not anytime soon, because obviously, you know, it's just a journey of our life and where it takes us, because we just keep seeing these, you know, having all these great experiences and running through all these great scenarios, you just want to share with people and just let them experience it with you.
Yeah. You're inspirational. I can hear it in your voice and in your emotion. I've got Lisa here nodding her head up and down. So
amazing.
She's with you, Dave. And
I need to have you on my show.
you want to go on Lisa's show at some point?
Because that's exactly what we're
absolutely.
Yeah, you certainly got it. You got a zest for life, and after all that you've been through, certainly an inspiration. I guess what I would like to ask you now, yeah, and we ask all of our authors this, but if you could meet a famous person, who would it be? And if you were alone with them in a room, what would be the first question you would ask them?
I'm not really starstruck, to be honest. I guess right now I'd probably be Mark Cuban and ask him why he didn't respond to my email I sent him. And I hope he bought the book.
Okay, all right.
I was on a mission, and so, you know, it's like, I guess if I could meet one person, it'd be Joel Osteen.
I've seen him a little bit on TV, haven't seen him a lot. I guess, to be honest with you, a lot of these preachers kind of turn me off because there's so many of them, but I guess you really have to get to know the personality, and once you connect up with someone, Robert Schuller was my favorite years ago. I don't know. I think he may have passed, and his son was involved in preaching. But he was the guy that gave me the inspiration every Sunday. And I know Joel does a good job out there, too. I just haven't listened to a lot of what he has to say. But he made an impression on you, my friend, so that says a lot.
And, Dave, I'm about to make you very jealous.
You what? Are?
I am. I've actually met him.
You did?
Have you really?
Yeah, back before he was, he used to hold revivals, and I went to one.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I went to a Billy Graham revival.
I've been to those too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
We just have such a zest for life, and we want to share it with everybody, because, you know, I was talking to my mom earlier today, and she said, she's a school teacher, and she said, oh, one of our students' parents died. She was in her early 40s, and my cousin just had his lymph node, he was younger than I am, you know, removed. It was cancerous, and, you know, and it just brings it home every day that you can't wait to see what tomorrow has. You have to enjoy today. You have to see what today has. And, you know, it's tough to learn that. And until you actually go through it, until you see, geez, I am not invincible. I almost did, you know, meet the end. Maybe I do need to think more just about what's right in front of me and more than just myself and being selfish and, you know, think about more than that, what's most important, because it happens every day. And I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm saying you just have to enjoy life. You have to enjoy every day. And that's what we like to do. So this is our passion. It's a newfound passion. You know, like I said, we never saw it coming, but we're just going with it. And as long as people are enjoying it, enjoying us, then we'll just continue on with it.
Yep.
You're amazing.
He is. He's really amazing.
I am just so wow.
And Dave, I'm not going to get too personal here with you on the show, but I do have a question for you. If you could contact me on my Facebook page, just send me a message. I don't know if you're connected up with me or friends with me on Facebook, but please send me a message, and I will get back to you, and I need to speak to you. Kind of off the air, if it would be, because I think I can learn something from you in one of your experiences in the book that I'd like to talk to you about off the air.
I didn't violate any FCC code or anything, did I?
Oh, no.
Tom, that was me joking to you.
Yeah, you're flying high, Dave. You're flying high on this show, and you're one of the best, and I've said this to several, but... I've done over 60 interviews, but I would have to say that this is one of the best interviews and most memorable interviews that I've ever had on the Writer's Lounge, and I'm really, really impressed with you and what you're trying to do with your life and trying to help other people's lives. And go ahead.
I say I really appreciate that, guys, and we're really excited about the audio series coming out also. And then we're also excited about putting my voice with the blogs. And it just like you said, it brings the personal touch. It brings the passion. It brings the excitement. I just want to tell a story. I just want to tell the story. There's the story. And you take it and you do whatever you want with it. I believe that everybody should think for themselves. Here's my story. You think about whatever you want with it, and what you take from it, I hope helps you in life. That's our goal.
Yep, and that's good. Can you give us the website address of where you're at again, if you would?
Oh, absolutely. It's More Motivated, www.more, like my last name, M-O-O-R-E, Motivated, M-O-T-I-V-A-T-E-D. .com. And that spelling it out is for me, because I'm not a good speller. My wife, she can spell anything. When I'm typing along, there's red lines under everything.
Lisa, you got any closing thoughts?
I just think he's amazing. I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
I seriously love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Bless you and thank you. Because we're in this world together and we need to make a difference.
Yeah.
Not easy.
It's not easy. So, Dave, thank you again for being on the Writer's Lounge, and we want to remind everybody that if you didn't make it into the show, apparently there was a problem with the chat room. I got a message here from Blog Talk Radio saying that there was an issue with it, so I apologize for that. But you can always go in and listen to Dave in the archives, and Dave, I hope you will plug our show into a website. Just go to the Blog Talk Radio site, and they'll show you how to do that to embed it. And once again, my friend, you are amazing. You're an inspiration, and we love to have you on the show. And Godspeed to you, my friend.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It was a pleasure, and we'll be talking.
Okay. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow. Hey, and that was about it. It was W-O-W.
Yeah.
A major wow to have him on the program. And we want to bring on more authors, obviously, of both fiction and nonfiction. We don't want to promote just fiction either. We want nonfiction authors on to tell the stories that are out there. And I think it's a good segment. It's a good thing that we're doing on the Writer's Lounge to inspire people, not just with writing fiction, but also telling the stories of their life. And getting that out there so everybody can learn, because that's what we're all about, right, Lisa?
Absolutely.
So with that, I guess that's the end of another show. We hopefully will see you in 2 weeks. And as we say on the Writer's Lounge, let the story begin, and we'll see you next time.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. One beautiful morn, he said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. the storm clouds apart and the sun begins. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind, and it looks like it's rainbow weather.